Did you know how big your dad was?
No.
As a dad?
No.
Really?
And
no.
When did you learn how
great
big
question,
he was?
Great question, Chris. I didn't learn it.
That's
until
what I want to know.
I was a sophomore in college.
No, let me tell you, it's really cool that you asked that because it was just like he was just dad.
Welcome to Drop the Disc Podcast. I am recording this message right now from a Marriott suite in Charleston celebrating Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all of you that are listening. This week's episode, we are talking to Deanna Brown, the goddaughter of soul, about her relationship with her father and his impact on the city of Augusta.
I saw my name. I saw me and my brothers and sisters' names in this encyclopedia. So I'm looking in the encyclopedia and I'm reading it and I'm like starting to look around like, do they know who I am?
That's crazy.
Really? Like, I'm a...
Wow.
I'm like, do they know who I am? Heck yeah, they know who you are.
Right.
This episode was recorded Monday, June 15th at Augusta Podcast Studio.
Hey guys, welcome to Drop the Disc. This episode, just like every episode, is presented by our presenting sponsor,
yep,
Nancy Powell of Powell & Associates Real Estate.
Yeah, so real quick, David, Nancy is a real estate broker.
She is the best real estate broker, and not only is she a real estate broker, she is my real estate broker, Chris, and she's also your real estate broker.
She is my broker.
She negotiated on our behalf. She helped us get stuff done at the last second. She advised us throughout the process.
And I'll add to that.
Add.
She sold us our home, and we've had some issues with our home already. And she has been a point of contact with some warranties that we've been dealing with. So she not only closes the deal, she's also your friend when things happen homeowner.
You mean you sign on the line and she'll still answer your calls afterwards?
She will.
That's incredible.
And I want you to know that at home.
And if any of you are in real estate at all, whether you're buying your house, whether you're selling your house, whether you're buying investment property, selling investment property, I think you get the picture. Nancy Powell at Downtown Augusta Broker or nancypowell1977@gmail.com.
Look no further.
Apparently, we're starting this podcast.
Let's go ahead and let's just jump into it.
We are.
You know, we're Drop the Disc Podcast, and we're here with a very special guest.
That's right.
Super excited to introduce you. You are.
And tell
Deanna
us
Deanna Brown Thomas, one of the daughters of the godfather of soul, Mr. James Brown, the late Mr. James Brown, president of the James Brown Family Foundation.
I love it.
So what does the daughter of the godfather in, what does that make you?
Owner of Deshaun Seafood and More in North Augusta.
Oh, okay. There we go. Another business. Yeah.
I love this.
This is great. What were you asking?
No. So I was just interested, like, if you're looking at a family tree, like, there's godfather, like, how does daughter fall into godfather? Where are you on that?
Godfather of soul.
I'm just one of the daughters of the godfather, so I don't... my IG handle is James Brown Girl, so we can
heck
go
yeah.
How, by the way, great handle.
Easy
great
to find.
Handle.
Right. So James I'm assuming you were born in Augusta, Georgia.
No, I wasn't. My sister, Dr. Yama Brown, she's okay. A doctor of pharmacy. She lives in Atlanta now, but she was actually born in what is now Trinity, that used to be St. Joseph.
Okay.
When she was born there.
Right off what? Wrightsboro Road?
Mm-hmm.
Wrightsboro Road?
Okay. It used to be Trinity. It's now AU.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It is. But before that, it was St. Joseph's.
So where were
and
you born?
I was born in New York, in Queens, New York.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I was born when my dad had a home there in Queens.
Okay. And were you raised in Queens as well?
Well, no. I was born there and probably almost at a year, my mom, decided that she wanted to raise children down south. So she talked dad into moving back
down to where he was from. And so we moved and we lived on Walton Way.
Okay.
And people, older people listening will remember back in the day, back in the 70s, Dad used to always have Christmas decorations out. And he would get them from Fat Man's, from the actual Mr. whatever his name is.
Mr. Usher, Fat Usher. Man. Yeah, Mr. Usry.
It was an Usry,
the
yes.
The actual man who actually started. It would be Red's, I guess, father.
Yeah.
So he would have these props out there during Christmas, and people would line their cars up Walton Way, and they'd
That's
go.
Incredible.
And when he was there, he'd give kids dollars,
yeah,
and candy and stuff like that. And I remember seeing this one woman; it was really funny to me, but it was kind of cool because it kind of shown that the things that my dad was about. She was like in her 50s. She was a white woman, and she says, "I came to your house when I was young." And it was Christmas time, and that was the first time I ever saw a black Santa Claus. I said, "All right, girl." She was like, "It was interesting to a young little white girl." I said, "Well, I'm sure it was."
That's
and
funny.
You saw it at James Brown's house.
That's great.
So she will always remember that, but it was just so amazing. We were the first African-American family to live on the hill, as
wow.
That's what it would be called.
That's big.
Yeah. So obviously, like, growing up with James Brown is this huge thing that we do not even have enough time to, I'm sure, ask you all the questions so you could answer. What, in that light, though, with, all that exposure, people lining up for your house, you having these beautiful, and this great reputation, I assume, you grew up in Augusta for the most part.
Yes, we grew up in Augusta when my mother and
father
separated.
What school did you go to?
I went to Augusta Christian.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, my first
That's
I went...
That's awesome.
I went to Big Pine, which
okay.
was... Yeah, I went there.
Yeah.
And then after Big Pine, I went to Augusta Christian.
Okay. So we are rivals.
We are.
I went to Westminster.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We're rivals.
We're rivals.
That's hilarious.
So growing up in that situation, like, what is it that you wanted to do when you grew up? Like, were you like, "Hey, I'm gonna grow up and I'm gonna run this huge charity and I'm gonna be a personality on the radio"? What is it that you were looking to do?
I mean, come on, I was a little girl.
Right. Tell
right.
us what you wanted,
wanted to
do.
I wanted to be a stewardess on a flight.
Really?
Yeah.
You wanted to travel
okay.
the world.
Yeah.
I wanted to travel.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to be a stewardess doing it because I felt like that's my way of traveling.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean?
Well, I don't blame you. That's how
Free
I can
flights.
Travel.
Yeah. It's like, okay. I was like, I can be one of these nice, pretty ladies walking around here.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Traveling around the world.
Okay.
So as a young girl, that's kind of like the first little thing that I wanted to do.
Okay.
And it was kind of funny because as I got older in my teenage years, it's like, I don't know what kind of came over to me, to be honest with you. I don't know if it was because I did travel with Dad sometimes and kind of saw him do his kind of charitable work.
So you would go to, like, if he was doing like a tour, like, would
sometimes
you be,
I would be on tour with
you
him.
Would be yeah. potentially on that tour.
Yeah, sometimes I'd be on tour with him.
Is there a place that you can remember that you're like, "My goodness, this is like a place that made an impact on me that we went"?
Oh, goodness gracious. I've been able to see my dad in so many different levels on so many different things, but I guess it was somewhere around when I was in my late teens, maybe, I was like, maybe one day when I grow up, I can have a boarding house or something. I can help young kids who don't have a home, who not just need an education and need help and guidance in life, but also need a home, need a place to live. So yeah. I used to always think about, maybe I could do that. But growing up, I did have an opportunity to travel around with my dad. And one of the biggest impacts, I guess, was when I saw my dad. We were in South Central Los Angeles. And
okay. When was this? I got to know.
This was in the early 90s.
Okay. So, like, post 91?
No.
I only asked because that's when I was born.
Oh, no. It was after 91.
Okay.
It was after 91.
So early 90s.
Yeah, like early mid-90s.
Okay.
And so we were riding in the limousine down South Central Los Angeles. And, you know, in Los Angeles, they have these huge sidewalks, okay?
Right.
I don't know that, but I believe
I've seen
you.
Pictures.
Yeah, they have a huge sidewalk. Okay. So there was a lot of homeless people that were, like, on the ground under, you know, whatever. They were under cardboard.
Right.
Or old dirty blankets or whatever. And he told the limousine to stop the car. And so he stopped the car. And dad kind of like jumped out. So the security guards were like jumping out because they're like, what's going on? So he got out the car and he's like, come here, Deanna. Come on, go with me. Okay. So we got ready to walk across the street. And you could literally see these homeless people like rise up from the ground. It was almost like, and then when they focused their eyes on James Brown, it was almost like, they had seen a ghost or something.
Like an otherworldly kind of situation for them.
It was like, are we really seeing James Brown?
That's insane.
And so he was standing there and, you know, he was like, you know, hey, brother, you know, talking to him and stuff like that. And, you know, he gave him a little money, you know, whatever he was giving him, $50 bills, $100 bills, whatever. But he told this one young man, he says, listen, take this money. Go clean yourself up. Go get something to eat. Go do something for yourself. And in that moment, it was like, it wasn't about the money. Like, what I realized, it was really just that hope.
Right.
That he was giving. I mean, just for that person, just to be standing there looking at James Brown, James Brown alone, probably
nobody believes
blowing
him.
Blowing their mind, you know. But then he's showing care, concern, and giving them hope.
Right.
And to me, I mean, he didn't have to do that.
How old were you?
He did not have to do that.
I was in my 20s.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I was in my 20s. He didn't have to do that.
He was teaching you something there.
Yeah, he didn't have to do that. And like every year for the turkey giveaway when he was doing that.
Right.
You know, it was something that he wanted to do. It wasn't like he was going around and there were big corporations that was doing this and they just put his name on it and he just let them have their name. No.
And
he actually was involved. He didn't mind coming down and giving out turkeys and seeing people.
You mentioned the turkey giveaways. We have to keep in mind that some of our listeners aren't from Augusta and don't know that. Could you explain the turkey giveaway
here in Augusta? What's the background on that?
In 91, my dad started doing the James Brown turkey giveaway. It was something that came over him to remember that he was once one of these young kids who didn't have food. And he know that at this point in time, God had truly blessed him. So he wanted to come in and give back. And he would always have it right there at Dias Park on James Brown Boulevard because he grew up in that area. And, of course, that was James Brown Boulevard.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things where he wanted to come back and give back to where he grew up and where it was hard for him. So he started that, and after he passed, when we created the 501c3 James Brown Family Foundation,
right?
We adopted that.
Which, by the way, we're going to get into a lot of the details of that later on as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we continue doing that because it was something that he started and he believed in, you know, because he remembered those days when there was no food in his home,
right?
And God had blessed him such to where, you know, he could have as many turkeys as he wanted in his home, but he could also give them away too.
There you go. And that's during Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
So you were born in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, from this Augusta, Georgia perspective, of course, you have to let us take it here. You know, James Brown, your father, he was from Augusta, Georgia, and obviously, like...
He was born in...
He's, like, synonymous with the city at this point.
He was born in Barnwell County, South Carolina. He was born in Snelling, South
Carolina. That is an upset. I did not know that.
Can you please repeat that for everybody at home?
He was born in Snelling, South Carolina, which is Barnwell County.
Okay.
And he grew up in Augusta, Georgia, on Twiggs Street.
Okay, wow. Okay, so not born from here, but grew up here.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So what is your, and after this, I think we're going to get into more of like your personal efforts and what you're going into now, but I've got to ask you, when you were growing up, and you did a lot of your growing up, it sounds like, in the city of Augusta, what was your impression of the city, especially from the eyes of your father, but also from your own eyes being born in New York and coming down here to be raised. What was your impression?
You got to understand, at that age, I was very young and sheltered. So
of course. And when was this? When was this?
This was in the early 70s.
Okay. Okay.
This was in the early 70s. And so you got to understand, I was sheltered. I was homeschooled before I actually went to Augusta Christian.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you have your lessons sung to you? I'm sorry.
No. But you were homeschooled, I'm guessing, because of the travel.
I was homeschooled because my dad just wanted that for me at that age.
Okay.
He wasn't quite ready for me to go to school. So physically, to be away, kind of very overprotective.
Okay.
And
that says a lot about him.
Yes.
He cares about you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was homeschooled. My teacher was German teacher, Miss Turlington. I don't even know if she's still around or alive. The last time I had heard about her, she was working at, at one of the stores on Washington Road. I can't even remember the name of the store, but she was German. She was so sweet, but she was my homeschool teacher.
Okay.
And then after that, I went to Augusta Christian.
Okay. Well, but what was your impression on the city?
Well,
like,
I
you
mean,
had
I,
to...
I was sheltered. There was no impression.
Your impression was literally it was your home.
My world was different.
Okay,
right.
You know, I was in a different world.
Can you speak to that?
I mean, like first of all, me being homeschooled, and I didn't even go to the first grade. I went straight to the second grade.
They're like, hey, she knows how to read already.
You passed the right test.
I went in and I whatever little test they give, you know.
Right,
it was like
the basic grammar.
Dad,
she was like, yeah, no, I got it.
Yeah. So I give that to the fact that my dad had me homeschooled. So I was there. The homeschooling was the attention was right there just for me. You know, it wasn't a bunch of other students there. So, and it's funny how the last semester of this year, people were homeschooled. Young kids were homeschooled.
Right.
It was kind of rough for the parents, especially if they're working parents, you know. But it's a different kind of teaching these days anyway. The division is different.
Totally different.
We did long division. I don't know what.
I don't know. You can't see me rolling my eyes, but holy crap, you're right.
So my life was sheltered. So I lived in a different world. And then when we traveled, you know, everything was first this, first that. You know what I mean? Private jets.
So you were traveling the world when you were young.
Oh, yeah. I mean, private jets, you know, presidential suites and things like that.
It's incredible.
Limousines.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was my life. Once my mother and my father separated, then it became, you know, different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up north, that part after my mother and father separated. So I went to high school and college up north. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What college did you go to? What did you study?
I started business administration and marketing.
Okay.
And I went to Wesley College in Dover, Delaware, first, a private college.
Okay.
And then I went to Towson State University.
Delaware. Interesting.
Yeah, Dover, Delaware.
I love it. I love it.
I went to Wesley College.
But you went up north,
mm-hmm.
and then did you settle in Augusta?
Well,
like, did you, what happened in between college and then getting back to Augusta?
How did I make it back?
That's the question.
That is the question.
But 95 South. After, you know, going through all of the growing up and college and doing all of that, I mean, I still would see my dad from time to time, even out when he was out on the road, or if I came down here and traveled and, you know, visited him. But I would still see him. And so once I graduated from college, I went to Bailey's Crossroads, Virginia, and went to radio school.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I did radio school. And
nobody ever taught us how to do radio.
Yeah, well,
way.
You know.
That's why we're doing
podcasts.
See,
the reason that you had to do it like that, because in those days, you had to have a FCC license.
Mm.
You had to have a permit.
Gotcha.
Not a license, but you had to have a permit, an
now
FCC permit,
do
in order to be on the air.
Right.
Right. Now it's like.
It's totally different.
Totally different now.
Which is.
And I was doing radio when all of that breakdown happened. It was like, wow. Because there was a time when you did radio, you had to have your card, your permit up on the board as a board operator.
So you were like a lawyer. You were like, hey, look, that's my bar right there. Like I passed the bar.
But yeah, you had to have it in the radio radio studio with you. It had to be up on the board because anytime an FCC agent could possibly walk in and you got to have your card up there to say that you are a licensed, permitted board operator for a radio station.
So you and left college and you, were, and you they
were,
started.
We were considered seriously essential workers because that's how people got their information a lot of times through radio before they even had TV.
Yeah, you know? that's a very
radio
good point.
Is very important, you know. So, you know, this is pre, you know, all that cable craziness that's going on now and truly internet radio.
True. But, absolutely.
But so to get to all of that, Dad was really deep into communications, owning radio stations himself. Mm. And so once I graduated and it was like he wanted to start a radio station. And I was like, okay. So I moved to Atlanta and started in Atlanta first.
Okay.
I was partnering with somebody. And then after that, I ended back down here and we did some radio here.
In the AUG.
In the AUG.
Coming up, more on James Brown's worldwide impact and what his foundation is doing in Augusta today.
David, have you ever had smash attack?
I didn't know how you were going to start this. Yes. And you mean the beer that is in these new cans from Savannah River Brewery that looks just like Super Smash Bros?
Yes, you said everything I was going to say in the next 5 minutes. So, yes, Smash Attack, look no further. Savannah River Brewery has an awesome 90s can. It's basically Smash Brothers and everybody's in hops.
What's so cool that I really like about them is one, so they're putting these new beers out like all the time, which is incredible. And two, they totally know who their audience is when they design their cans.
Absolutely. They know who wants to drink their beer.
They've got their Pilsner that's the No Jacket Required that was just featured, by the way, on a golf national forum of best beers to drink while playing golf.
I don't blame them.
They've got Blonky Kong, which is a worldwide phenomenon, and now they've got Smash, and I haven't mentioned their other five flagship beers. They're incredible.
Yeah, we don't need to explain it all. Just check them out. Savannah River Brewery. They're in Augusta, Georgia. Look no further. If you want some good beer, if you want a good experience at a brewery, go to Savannah River Brewery.
So I don't know really what more we can say about this partner that I'm about to talk about, but I'm going to do my best. And that's Partners, The Little Guide to Augusta.
Mm.
The Little Guide to Augusta is awesome. Not only is it this little red book that you can get in restaurants, you can get in boutiques, you can get in service places, you can get in local businesses everywhere. They have this awesome social media that works with us, by the way, and works with other local businesses to help us promote whatever we've got going on. They've got a great team. And by the way, when we signed up to be in the Little Guide, they sent a professional photographer to us free of charge to make us look good. From a business perspective, like the Little Guide to Augusta is awesome. From a citizen perspective, the Little Guide to Augusta is awesome. I see a win-win here. Check it out. Put it on your coffee table.
It's free.
Send it to your family. Turn to page 88 and look at our beautiful faces. We love this partnership, and we hope that you check them out.
And yes, Chris Knappelt still regrets the vest.
So you were basically like pioneering radio channels, like you were starting radio stations.
Yeah, that's basically what I was doing. The last one we had was where the Board of Education sits right now. on the corner of James Brown Boulevard.
No way. Street. It's a huge building.
We were right there, and we were we had the downstairs, all the downstairs.
Okay, gotcha.
And basically, our concentration was the corner of Broad Street and James Brown Boulevard, and it was a big, huge window that circled that side.
Oh, that's
of the
awesome!
Building. So when you ride or walk down Broad Street, you could see the jocks inside jocking.
That's
like
cool.
Old school.
That's cool.
That's
though.
Old school black radio.
Were you
back
doing
in
that?
The day.
Were you like? Yeah. Were you like scratching? And,
well, no, I wasn't a scratching type of DJ, but you know, I did every air shift. I did morning, afternoon, evening. I've done them all.
That's night. Awesome. Yeah, so this is all similar to you.
Very
going on right now.
Very. My dad used to also own WRDW Radio. And
really,
now the building is gone now. It used to be right over there off of Eisenhower, off near the park.
Gotcha.
And but the Nationals bought it now, and so they
as tends
parking,
to happen for the Nationals.
I think it bought it for parking. That was like where I got my first, I guess you could say, radio bug, broadcasting bug, when my dad owned it, WRDW. It was known for where radio does wonders.
Does WRDW stand for that? Where radio?
When my dad owned the radio station, yeah, where radio does wonders. He also owned a radio station.
I never knew that.
When he owned the radio station. WRDW, the TV station.
Sure.
The radio station, which is pretty much no longer.
Well, that's like the OG WRDW,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And he owned a radio station in Nashville, Tennessee, WJBE, James Brown Enterprises.
Okay.
I like this.
Of course. And he also owned one in Baltimore, Maryland, and this one was WEBB, which stood for We Enjoy Being Black.
Yes, that's awesome.
So he was very, but he was very into the communications. He was like, it's a powerful tool.
Yeah. Right. And he's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. He is. I do have a question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when James Brown was your dad, mm-hmm. which is so cool. So I put that on a spectrum of, I grew up in Augusta, Georgia. We have the Augusta National. And you don't know how awesome it is until you travel the world and you wear that flat, you know, that hat. Mm-hmm. And people in Germany are like, you've been to the Masters? I'm like, I live in Augusta, you mm-hmm. know? And then they just go ballistics like, what? That's crazy. Did you know how big your dad was as a dad?
No.
Really?
And when did you learn how big he was?
Great question, Chris. I didn't learn it.
That's what I want to know.
I was a sophomore in college.
Wow.
At Towson State University.
You played him at one of your parties, and then people were like, oh, yeah. And you were like, that's my dad.
No.
And they were like, whoa.
No, someone else played it. That's how you know he
made
it.
No, let me tell you, it's really cool that you asked that because it was just like, he was just dad. You're right.
Yeah.
I was a sophomore in college. Sophomore in college. Was about to do, I was just finishing my sophomore, going in my junior year. And I was in the library doing some research. And so come across encyclopedias and saw the bees, and I was like, let's see what they got on dad. Surely they got something on dad. I mean,
right.
I was used to that by now.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
It's yeah. Okay. So I pull out, you know, the encyclopedia for the B-R-O-W-N, and I find him, and, you know, it's like James Brown, and you have the B with the demographics, you know, May 3rd, born, you know, the B
right.
for born,
yeah.
May 3rd, 1933, you know, Joseph and Susan, you know, giving his, you know, all his bio, and then it was like, you know, later moved to Augusta, Mary, Dee Dee, Jenkins, children, and it listed our names.
Mm.
I saw my name.
Yeah.
You're like, oh crap, I'm famous.
Yeah. I'm like, no, you know what? I'm telling you what I said to myself. I saw my name. I saw me and my brothers and sisters' names in this encyclopedia. So I'm looking in the encyclopedia and I'm reading it, and I'm like starting to look around like, do they know who I am?
That's crazy.
Really?
Wow.
I'm like, do they know who I am? Yeah, they know. not where you are.
Right.
Oh.
That's cool.
No, I mean, I just didn't, you know, like, I knew he was big. I knew he traveled. I knew he was an artist.
Yeah.
But to the extent of how big? No. And I even got an even deeper sense after he passed because of
I'm sure
all of, you know,
yeah,
that was thrust on me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard some things that people would say about my dad, and I'm like, ooh, wow, that's kind of deep, isn't it? Like, too deep.
But Deke Copenhaver would go deep with you.
Yeah,
he's gotten deep about
it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. People really, really, that had an effect.
He made such an impact on people.
Yeah, he really and did. On he the affected city. A lot of people in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
You know? And I know some people have their thoughts, and he wasn't a perfect man, but none of us are.
Yeah.
And, but he still contributed so much to not just this community, but to the world at large. I mean, because you can travel anywhere in the world and you can say James Brown and, you know, they don't even have to.
They'll know what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, they know exactly who you're talking about.
You know, Augusta, Georgia likes to throw around Godfather of Soul. And it's easy for people to say, yeah, James Brown is from here. But when you say Godfather of Soul, in any other city,
yes,
they also think James Brown.
That's mm-hmm. the big deal.
And that's the
like
big
when
deal.
When you go to Washington State or when you go to Canada mm-hmm. or when you even go to, you know, Europe and mm-hmm. you say the same thing and you're like, oh, I thought we just said that at home.
Right.
Like it's this totally different. Like you were probably in New York, right? Going to college and you were like, oh, they think this way in New York? Oh, crap. That's real. That's real.
He is a household name.
So
absolutely.
All over the world, for sure.
So let's go back to you.
Yes.
You
This
are,
is about you.
Yeah, we've got
to I promise.
Keep,
don't worry. I just had to ask that one question.
That was okay. By the way.
It's all right.
Thank you for asking that.
Yes.
Because I did not think of that. And I owe you one.
Well, if my dad was famous, I would want someone to ask me that as well. It would challenge me.
So let's come from this perspective. So right now, you are running the James Brown Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. Tell us what that is and how that started.
Well, like I said, after he passed away, we realized we wanted to continue the charitable portion of it, which was very important to my dad. So we started the foundation, charitable foundation, and got our 501c3 to be able to do that, to continue the James Brown turkey giveaway, which we do give away hundreds of turkeys each year, and the James Brown toy giveaway. It's going to be different starting this year because the large gatherings we can't do.
Right.
But we are still going to do our part and facilitate turkeys to those who are in need and toys as well. And we figure, you know, this year is going to be probably a little bit more than normal because of the situation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we did it to continue that. And then it was another thing. It was like, Dad was so into music education. You know, he always talked about how important it was to keep it in the schools. You know, the funding always went to sports. A lot of it didn't go to arts and music, you know. And when this cuts, it's usually the arts and the music get cut first.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, he talked about how important it was. And so we just kind of picked that up and kind of started to get into that in the best way we knew how. And in doing so, we created the James Brown Academy of Music Pupils, which was a summer program first. And then
when was all this? When is all this?
2011.
Okay.
In 2011, we started it. And then we continued to do it as a year-round program. So it becomes an after-school program during school year and then 6 weeks in the summer. Mm. And we've done it since 2011, going in our 10th year.
That's awesome.
This is our first year. We have our classes at the Augusta Museum of History. And it's been wonderful because our students have had some awesome opportunities. They've had the opportunity to perform at the Ryan Theater in Nashville, Grand Ole Opry.
Wow.
For the Georgia Music Foundation.
Incredible.
They performed with Governor Deal and his wife in the audience and some other great country artists like... Luke Ryan was performing on that show.
Wow.
James Aldean, I think I'm saying it right.
James Aldean, yeah.
Chris will be the fact checker here.
So these were, you know, it was all country artists, but it was Georgia Music Foundation.
That's
so
incredible.
They wanted some, you know, James Brown funk. So
heck yeah,
the
who
kids
would
brought
not
it.
Want some James Brown funk?
The kids brought Come it on. For them. So they've had that opportunity. We've traveled to New York, they performed. We traveled to California, they performed. They've even had that opportunity in 2012 to go out to Chicago. And these students who did that have already graduated. They've already gone through the program because we've been around for 10 years. Some of them have just graduated from college, as a matter of fact. We got two of them just graduated from college. But they started in the program when they were like 12 and 13. But they got the opportunity to perform, open up for Prince when he was alive in Chicago.
So you said 12 and 13.
Wow, mm-hmm. Prince?
What
no
kind
way.
Of...
Hold on. Hold on. They open up for Prince?
Go ahead, yes. Chris. I know this is cool.
Oh, my gosh. That's super cool.
Some of them even got on stage and danced. With...
No way.
Yeah.
Gosh. R.I.P.
That's crazy. No, that's crazy.
R.I.P. Prince.
So it's just, you know... You know, I kind of know just a few people, so, you know.
So
just,
actually, that so brings me to this question.
I try to use that that influence, the people that I kind of know, to kind of open up opportunities and doors. We even had a group that got a chance to go to the Lakewood Amphitheater in Atlanta, Georgia one year and meet Def Leppard and check them out. Go backstage and meet Phil
that
Collins.
That is not your style at all,
Phil
but you
Collins.
Were just like, these
I
guys
love
are
it.
Famous.
Yeah, I mean,
that is
well,
awesome.
I mean, they were big James Brown fans.
Heck yeah. Right?
So I was like, well, look, how about y'all let my kids that are into you all come? They were like, yeah,
I love
bring
it.
Them on.
Yes. I love it.
They went.
So have you had any moments where, like, you met someone and you were like, holy crap. Like a pinch me kind of moment where you met someone you never would have expected to meet?
I mean, I've
or
had,
you just meet everyone.
I've had some exciting moments. I mean, like, one of my favorite female artists was Natalie Cole, Nat King Cole's
yeah, yeah,
daughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I met her at...
Arguably better than him, but anyway.
One evening when we met at the American Music Awards, I believe it was actually was the year that she sang "Unforgettable" as a duet.
Oh my gosh!
With her dad, and I had a chance to meet her, and I was like, "Oh, I just love you." She was like, "Oh, I just love your dad." I was like, "Well, I love your dad too." It was just kind of that banter back and forth,
That's
but
awesome.
It was just kind of cool to meet her, you know, because as a young girl, I just loved Natalie Cole, you know.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I just loved
That's
her. But growing
super
up,
super cool.
But I mean, I've met some really awesome people through the years. I mean, Michael Jackson actually came to Dad's funeral here in Augusta,
yes,
Georgia.
That was incredible.
You know,
seriously.
I think
it was
that might be
a time when he wasn't really trying to be out in the public. It was
right.
a lot going on in his life.
Right.
And he wasn't even in the country. He was still in Bahrain and he was just coming back. Actually, he had just landed in Las Vegas and it was like a few days later and he was like, "No, I'm coming." You know. Mm. So
that says a lot.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Mhm. Mhm.
Ooh, you got me there.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually had this question, and then we started talking about famous people, and my brain got wiped.
I'm sorry.
No, I love it.
You know who else I met that was really cool?
Please tell me.
I'm sorry.
Please, I want
to
know who
else. No, Bono from YouTube.
Yes.
Really?
He is so
that
cool.
Was he wearing
so
the
cool.
sunglasses?
Like, so cool, yeah. Just, like, so cool. Like, sit
and
down.
And he was super, like, chill.
Have a drink, you know, cool. Just,
oh,
like, just,
man.
Just really cool. He came. Dad was performing in Las Vegas after one of those... big fights.
Yeah.
And we were sitting in the dressing room and he came and Dad was like in his own little area and getting himself dressed and he was just sitting in there chilling with us while I was waiting on Dad to come out of
wow.
his, you know, personal room.
Gosh.
You know?
And that level is what people need in Augusta to know that James Brown came from.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. I mean, I think...
The icons.
Yes,
liked,
the icons.
Loved him.
People in Augusta need to know that James Brown, yeah, came from Augusta. Anybody can say, yeah, Dave Matthews came from Augusta, but he doesn't talk about it. James Brown talked about Augusta.
Right.
He loved his city.
He did. Right. He did, and he sang about it in this song.
And it
too.
Wasn't just... And it just wasn't him talking about Augusta. Bono came to hang out with him.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson came to his funeral. You know, it's obviously his personality overwhelmed
yes.
other people.
Yes. Yeah.
And it,
yes.
it spoke loud. And now we have a podcast with his daughter.
And
super
and,
cool.
And all
I
this
mean,
is
and,
coming.
And to take it even further, even outside yeah. of the whole, you know, United States thing. I mean, I remember the year he went and did a private party at David and Victoria Beckham's home over in England.
Oh my
gosh. The most handsome man in the world.
Over in England. It's like, you know, so I mean, these are the type of people that they go crazy.
Yeah.
You know.
Coming up, Deanna takes an insightful look into the world today. And join us as she drops the disc with us. This is the Drop the Disc podcast.
So okay. David, when we started our podcast, you know what would have made it easier?
Literally any help at all?
The Clubhouse. Clubhouse is a place for startup businesses. It's not just technology. It's in the Georgia Cyber Center, but it's not just technology. Startups. It's anybody that wants to start up a business. And the Clubhouse helps you make it reality.
Well, and the cool thing that I really like is that not only do you have this like incredible resource, which the Clubhouse is this startup that has this Silicon Valley style build where they can really show you what's going on. But not only that, but like if you're just the average person that is interested in networking and interested in learning about Augusta, you can be a member of the Clubhouse and just go to their events, which, by the way, the Clubhouse opened to the public on June 1st. So their events are about to start happening again. And they have these awesome networking events. You know, we're great fans of the Young Professionals of Augusta. We're members of the Chamber of Commerce. And to me, the Clubhouse kind of just completes that circle.
Right. And when things open back up, 100%. We will be throwing parties at the Clubhouse.
Hopefully, man. Open
That's
bar.
That's the plan.
Open bar.
Open bar. There you go.
Come check it out.
Maybe with Dirty Girl in Second City.
Which, by the way,
yep. We're here.
We do need to shout out. Along with Savannah River Brewery, who, by the way, we cannot thank enough for throughout this time all of their support. And by the way, their continued partnership, because this is not an ending with Savannah River Brewery.
Absolutely not.
But we have made a couple more friends in Augusta. And so now our bar is incredible.
To back it up a little bit.
Yes.
Savannah River Brewery was there before we had a bar.
Right.
We were a mobile site.
They're there in
site.
My kitchen.
Yes.
They're in my kitchen.
Now we have an actual place, an actual bar to have drinks made.
And people have taken notice.
With a mini fridge underneath that has all Savannah River Brewery beer. However, on top, we now have space to be filled. And David, that's what you were talking about.
That's right. And we now have this incredible Dirty Girl and Second City combination bar going on here. It's awesome to have all these local businesses not only be supporting us, but to be their partners. And hopefully, we can talk about how much of this stuff we're going to be drinking over the next few weeks.
This is about you.
Oh. Yeah, no,
we
for
need
sure,
to get back
is.
To you. Like,
well,
we've got people
they
listening
can
now.
Tell, you know, some pretty cool stories. Look, go to James Brown Family FDN.org. Okay. We also have, we talked about the Turkey and the Toy,
right.
And the program that we have, the music program.
So what's the expanse of the foundation? Tell us about everything
well,
you
also,
guys do.
Well, also, aside from that, we also have the James Brown Family Historical Tour. Now, we're not doing any tours right now, but we
right,
are the
course.
Only tour in the city of Augusta. It's a bus tour that we take around in the city of Augusta.
Okay.
And it starts at the museum, Augusta Museum of History. It lasts for about an hour and a half, 45 minutes.
There's a
Just
lot
take you
to
different
learn
places.
About him there.
Yeah.
It's an incredible experience.
Mm-hmm. And so the tour takes you around Augusta, different locations where he went to school, where we lived, where he had businesses and different things like that. And then after that, we come back to the museum, and then you're able to walk through the museum and see the exhibit there. So right now, because of the coronavirus, we're not conducting any tours. We hope to pick
of course.
Back up
right.
soon. But yeah, we're the only ones that are doing tours here in Augusta. And all of that information can be found on our website, JamesBrownFamilyFDN.org. Go
there
ahead.
You go. Yep. And we can also talk about this as if COVID wasn't happening, because people could hear this in
Oh yeah,
years from now.
Oh yeah, they could. I mean, they could plan for next year.
There you know,
we do a lot of family reunions. We do a lot of groups. I mean, we've had people from all over the world come and take this tour. We've had people from Japan. We've had people from Switzerland, Italy, Germany, London. We've had them come
just to get James Brown.
They're in the States, and if they're close to Atlanta or this area, they're gonna come. I mean, we had somebody to fly. They flew into Warner. They were in the Warner Robins area. They flew from Washington State to Georgia because they were going to Warner Robins for a wedding. Okay. And they realized they were only a couple hours from Augusta, Georgia, where James Brown was from.
You got
to
stop by.
They're like, oh, bump that. We're in the car.
Absolutely.
Yes. They came here and they redirected their whole little thing because they were like, there's no way we're not going to be in the Southeast and not come and get some of this history. I mean, so it's just really amazing. I had four little girls, middle school from North Myrtle Beach, come because they're doing their report on James Brown. And they took the tour. Their parent brought them down here and
that
took the tour.
That is awesome. I also saw a TikTok somewhere.
I don't do TikTok.
About
She said, no, you didn't.
It was something relevant to James Brown.
Okay.
And it was their dance moves to a song he did.
Oh, really?
It might have been on his birthday or something.
Three girls?
Yes.
Okay, those girls
You know what I'm talking
let
about.
Let It Happen. They are Nora, Rosa, and Yara. They are from the Netherlands. And we did a live virtual tribute on the James Brown Family Foundation. First of all, we're on all platforms except for TikTok. We're on Facebook, IG, Instagram, and Twitter. Okay. So you can find the family, the tour, the music school, as well as the foundation. So we did a live tribute, virtual tribute for my dad since we couldn't have a big, major tribute.
Right.
May 3rd. And so
they
we asked these
it.
Young girls
that's
to
a,
do
well,
a
that's
dance
what Chris
tribute.
Saw.
We asked these young girls to do a dance tribute. And they did it to Get on the Good Foot.
They killed it.
And, oh my goodness.
Holy moly.
59 seconds or less. And do you know, can I tell you, we released it May 3rd. Can I tell you that every other day, someone is resharing that, reposting it. Sometimes I've got to hit C translation.
You got a work phone?
Because
you got
I don't
a work
even,
phone just
I can't
for
even
that.
Read it. Every
she's not lying.
Day. It's viral. It is
viral.
It's
and they are cute girls that are just doing what they love to do to your dad's music.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It is viral.
And it's
it is
cool
still
knowing.
Going.
It's cool knowing that Augusta, you know, people don't know him from Augusta, but me being from Augusta, David, anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Girls in Netherlands are dancing to
And these are young girls.
I mean,
they're
that's
like
some
12.
Perspective.
They're
that's
like
crazy.
12 that, and 14.
That is a perspective explosion right there.
Yes.
Knowing that someone created music that
is
changed,
that incredible?
Changed people's lives.
I mean, if you're
still.
Getting married right now, you're probably going to want Get Up Off of That Thing to play at your wedding. So I have one more question. I'm going to take this to a more somber place. There is a lot going on in the world right now. I mean, we've already mentioned COVID. We haven't mentioned the Black Lives Matter protests, and we haven't mentioned, I mean, I don't even want to bring up murder hornets, which is a whole thing. There's a lot going on in the world right now.
2020 is not the year that everybody was expecting.
No.
So let's get there.
But I do know that you've been using your perspective and your platform to make the biggest difference that you can. And I would like to hear from you as this person. You're running a philanthropy in Augusta. You've been worldwide, but you do worldwide charity, but you're still here in Augusta. I would like to hear from you what you see for the future of this community.
I'd like to see just what it should be. I'd like to see just what it's going to be in heaven. It's going to be all colors. It's going to be all kinds of people. All cultures, all races, and all creeds. So that's what we're going to see in heaven. Those are the souls, the type of souls that you're going to see. It's going to be from all people. And, you know, in 1968, when Martin Luther King was assassinated, President Lyndon B. Johnson asked my father to come speak to the masses in Washington, D.C.
Right.
That night he actually performed in Boston at the Boston Gardens. Every city was burning. Every major city was burning. There was looting. There was all types of things going on, just as you see today. And Boston did not burn that night because he was on TV performing. So you had people that was there at the performance venue, and then there were people that were stayed home so they could see James Brown on television, because that was a big deal in those days, to see a black artist on television.
Mm-hmm.
So it kept people off the streets. So Boston didn't have what Philadelphia, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, what they had, D.C. And when it's years and years and years of oppression, people do get tired. It's like a womb. And it's like when, if it's a deep wound, when you're trying to clean it out.
It hurts.
It hurts. It's very painful trying to clean out a deep, think how deep a cut a wound would be. Mm-hmm. And you got to put all of the antiseptic and all of that
That's
stuff
the worst
in there.
Part, cleaning it out.
It stings.
Yep.
It's painful. And I feel as though that's what's happening now. It's like these wounds that have been so deeply ingrained into the soul of America is being cleaned out. And 2020 was obviously designed to be the year for it to happen. We have nothing to do with that. We don't make the calendar. He does. God does. So this obviously was, you know, was the season for this to happen. And there's a whole new generation out there. You know, there's this, this is not the same generation, but it's always a younger generation that stands up, rises up, and makes a difference. And that's what you're seeing now. And the beautiful part about it, it's a basket full of beautiful colors.
Mm.
It's some of everybody.
That's right.
That's the beauty of this. So there's beauty in this. And it is such, I'm gonna speak from a black mother perspective. It hurts.
Yeah.
It's painful. I'm speaking from a black wife perspective, a black daughter perspective. It is hurtful and very painful. But it does help when our white brothers and sisters who see it are not afraid to speak on it and
right.
advocate for change. Silence is even harder,
mm-hmm.
is even more of a killer than the actual killing. Because you feel as though, well, you can't speak against this and advocate for change, then maybe you agree with it. And that would be in any situation. So I think that when you see the masses of young generations coming together of all cultures and races, to me, that gives us hope. That gives us hope. So I was in my mother's belly when my dad recorded Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Mm.
My mother was in the studio singing the background.
No
I was
way.
I was in her belly. Oh yeah,
you
I'm
were
singing,
there.
But you can't hear me.
That's awesome. You were there.
I was
That's
there.
Awesome. Ahead of the times.
And this song here will be relevant until the day the Lord comes back, you know,
I
until
agree.
The end of time.
100%.
It will be relevant because this we're going to be black till we ain't black no more.
Right.
And he did that song at a time when people needed to feel good about themselves.
Mm.
And it is still relevant for another younger generation. My son, who lives in L.A., he's a DJ. He does film, but he's also a DJ as well, and he's been part of the peaceful protest in West Hollywood. And his way of being part of the peaceful protest is to provide music, because music has always been a real intricate part of movements.
Agreed.
Whenever there's a movement,
music is culture, right?
Is the integral part. So they've got this big flatbed, and they've got all their DJ equipment on the flatbed.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a dream, honestly.
They're
riding
through the streets, you know, and they're stopping at different intersections, and they're playing the music, you know, and he's riding through Beverly Hills and playing Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, and you've got
Everybody's doing this. That he's living the dream.
I will let him know. And so it's like, here's my child wasn't even born when this song came out. Yeah. I mean, I was just being born,
right?
You know,
yeah.
But it's amazing because our students at the James Brown Academy of Music Pupils, you know, they get to learn these social conscious songs because they're important. You know, these are the kind of songs people are not writing about anymore. You know what I mean? They're not writing about, you know, raising the conscience of people. So they're important, and it's important for this generation to know, you know, about their history. But again, the future is in their hands. It's in you all's hands. So to see people advocate, to see people come together, that shows that there is hope, in my opinion.
And honestly, like, I think, and I think Chris is going to agree with this, I think you're going to strike a chord with everybody that listens to this, because we're talking to the people right now that are involved in their community, that are trying to make a difference, and those are the people that are listening. And so
we've got to respect our elders, because they have come through a time that we won't see.
Right. Mm.
But we also got to invest into our future, and that's that's our young folks.
And we have to be all in this together.
All in it and
together.
And on that note, now, Chris, I think this is a perfect opportunity.
This is a great segue.
Tie or not.
So we're Drop the Disc podcast. Disgusta. How many times have you heard that word?
Several.
And so we're Drop the Disc. I'm sure you're aware of where we're coming from. We are trying to throw away the shade and shed the good light on Augusta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so Drop the Disc comes in. If someone were to come up to you and talk negatively, disrespectfully about Augusta, Georgia, what would you say to that person?
My father is the late James Brown, the godfather of soul, and he is from Augusta, and he would travel around the world and let everybody know he was from Augusta. Every show he did, he even wrote songs that say, I'm from Augusta. Mm. There was a time when I used to play. There was a time. The place I used to come from, Augusta, GA.
Mm.
So if he was proud to say he was from Augusta, and not only did he perform for anybody, he performed for prime ministers, kings and queens and presidents all over the world, and he let them know that he was from Augusta, then I can say it loud. I'm not from Augusta, but I live in Augusta, and I'm proud to be. So, first of all, drop the diss, because when you say I feel good, you got to think about Augusta, Georgia. And how could you not feel good when you are in Augusta, GA? Drop the diss.
I love it. Thank you
so
much.
That was
so
beautiful.
You know what?
I've never had song lyrics quoted in that answer.
And we've never had a daughter of a godfather of soul.
Well, yeah.
One and only time.
Goes without saying.
Yes.
To be able to drop those little lyrics, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Deanna Brown, thank you so much. It was incredible talking to you today.
Thank you for having me. I wish you all the best. I really, truly do.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deanna Brown, the James Brown Foundation. They have a school of music for young children. They have a turkey giveaway around Thanksgiving.
Toy giveaway.
They have a toy giveaway.
And the James Brown Family Historical Tour. But if you just go to our website, jamesbrownfamilyfdn.org, or if you just go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you will find all of our platforms. We are right there.
jamesbrownfamilyfdn.org. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
thank you for listening. We really hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Deanna Brown. I know Chris and I both did, and it was way more insightful than either of us could have predicted.
Next week, we will be recording with Davis Beeman, who is the commercial side of Blanchard and Calhoun. He will give us more insight on how Augusta will continue to grow post-COVID-19.